Chapter 15, Karandiru, DV plus 2.5 hours. The last two survivors fled down the corridor, not looking back. Korax dashed after them, long strides assisted by half-opened wings, so that he seemed to glide between every step. Reaching his prey, he drove his armored hands through their backpacks, shattering vertebra, and lifted them both from the ground. Their panicked flailing caused him no difficulty. Another door opened to his left as he tossed their twitching bodies aside. He turned to see several Raven Guard, weapons at the ready, with a Rendai at their head.
"Follow me," said the Primarch.
He turned his back on the new arrivals to head down the corridor towards the main chamber of the keep. A cold rage burned through the Primarch at the thought of Nathian's betrayal. It was not the notion that a Raven Guard might side with Horus that drew his ire. Intellectually, Korax understood there would be warriors from his legion who would fall into the temptations of rebellion. With Nathian, the treachery seemed personal. Korax had favored Nathian over doubts keenly expressed by others, taking him into the inner circle of the rebellion on Lycaeus, and later bringing him into the Raven Guard against the objections of others. Perhaps that was what angered Korax, that he should have known better. Nathian's betrayal was the Primarch's pride staring back at him, an embodiment of Korax's refusal to back down, so often a boon, but on this occasion, a terrible vice. With these thoughts burning through him, the leader of the Raven Guard cut and smashed his way through the scarlet-uniformed soldiers he found in his path, barely giving them a second thought. He gave more mind to the cracks and holes and burns of his armor and the soreness of the wounds within, reminders of how close Nathian had come to killing his former master. The inner sanctum was located underground, reached by several sloping corridors. Korax stopped to dispatch Arendai and the remaining bodyguards to cut off escape, but the Primarch knew that Nathian would be waiting for retribution. There had always been a nihilistic streak in the traitor, which Korax had hoped loyalty and dedication to new duty would erase. Now that he was unfettered by oath or fraternity, Nathian's less favorable tendencies had come to the fore. Korax descended to the next level and then paused. Nathian had boasted that Korax had been easy to predict. Did the renegade have some other welcome planned for the Primarch in his headquarters? It seemed very likely, but unless Nathian had created a whole brigade of new men to wait in ambush with a Forge World's worth of experimental weapons, and evidence suggested that was not the case, Korax could not foresee what threat the former legionary posed. The hydraulics of the door rumbled open at Korax's approach. Through the doorway, the Primarch could see Nathian, his back turned, hunched in front of a bank of screens. Lights glimmered from his black armor, and his face was lit by the images on the displays. Korax saw that they were vid feeds from across Karandiru, scenes of battle around the various installations, and monitors showing the populace overthrowing their guards in the internment settlements. The door opposite hissed open to reveal Arendai's stealthy warriors. Korax held up a hand and waved them back, preferring to enter the traitor's lair alone. He was impervious to all but the most powerful weapons, but his legionaries were not. Nathian turned as Korax crossed the threshold. He smiled, thin-lipped, eyes filled with madness.
"Nice of you to come after me," said the renegade. "Welcome to my abode."
Korax glanced around the chamber. It was about 20 meters across, on two levels, with a broad walkway around the walls alongside consoles of comms equipment and scanning arrays, and a lower circular subfloor in the middle, furnished with chairs, tables, and cabinets.
"Messy,"
Korax said, curling a lip at the detritus piled on the floor and furnishings. Most seemed to be empty bottles. The Primarch cocked a curious eye towards his foe.
"Drinking? Really?"
Nathian shrugged.
"Fraid so, my lord. But have no fear. I'm perfectly sober at the moment. Do you know how hard it is to get drunk when you have all these special extra organs processing toxins out of your bloodstream?
Nathian gestured towards his torso.
Another fine gift of the Emperor. A man who, if ever I've met one, needs to enjoy a good drink now and then. I am going to kill you, said Korax. Of course you are, said Nathian. But first, you are going to answer my questions. If you like,
Nathian said, stepping down into the sub-level. He slumped into an oversized chair, armor wheezing, the metal of the seat protesting under his weight.
Make yourself comfortable. What happened to you on Istvan? I thought you were dead,
said Korax, ignoring the traitor's taunts.
Why turn on me now? You abandoned me first,
snarled Nathian, with real passion in his voice and eyes. He stood up and jabbed an accusing finger at the Primarch.
Buried beneath a pile of word-bearers, I slew with my own bolter and blade. You left me and dozens of others. I never left you. I was wounded. Your loyal brothers took me away. Before that,
said Nathian, waving away Korax's reasons.
When you quit the fight with the Night Haunter and Lorgar, you ran! You left us to die!
Korax said nothing, jaw tightening at the memory.
I see you know what I'm talking about. I gave you everything, soul and body, life and death. I believed in you, in the Emperor and his damned crusade. That's what you did to me, Corvus. You made me believe in something, made me proud.
Nathian sighed and turned away, fists clenched.
And then you left me, proving the lie of everything that had come before. It was not a lie. The treachery of Horus was... Horus? You blame Horus?
The traitor whirled back, eyes bright and wide with rage, blood flushing his pale cheeks.
Horus was not there on the battlefields of Istvan. You were!
His voice dropped.
And Lorgar was there. He found me and some of the others, hurt and discarded. And when he spoke, the fog was lifted from my eyes. Fog, you have spun around me with your posturing and lies. Lorgar cares nothing for you. He spoke, and we listened, and it made sense, proper sense, for the first time in decades. The nature of the universe, the things you wouldn't tell us, for fear we would see that we no longer needed you. And his love. He loved us and told us so, and we felt the truth of it. And so the love we gave you that was never returned, we gave to him instead.
Pathetic, snapped Korax. Absolutely pathetic. He turned slowly, gesturing at everything around them.
Self-indulgent, pathetic, and weak. Everything I would expect of a traitor. You learned nothing from me. You grew up in a prison, and now you become the jailer? You want to torture and maim those weaker than you? What vileness did Lorgar and the others pour into you? For the architect of these new men, you're nothing but an insane egotist. Really?
Nathian's voice rose in pitch and broke.
I found a use here. You had a use for me once.
He laughed, baring yellowing teeth.
And besides, you called me insane.
He bounded up to the outer walkway and stabbed at controls, bringing up a pict feed on one of the larger screens. Korax felt a knot in his stomach and his mouth dried as he watched a squad of Brand's raptors breaking into a cell wing, warriors that his gene manipulations had tainted.
That's different,
he said, before Nathan could voice his accusation, but the words sounded weak, a flimsy excuse, and the traitor knew it.
So different, my lord, so very different.
Nathan bared his teeth, brow furrowed with rage.
The difference is that I am honest about what I have done here. You will never stand in judgment of me again, Corvus. None of you.
He took in a shuddering breath and turned back to the console. His hands activated several controls, and then he whirled back to confront Korax. Now there was a real madness in his gaze, a mania that made Korax shudder.
You don't rule my fate! Nobody does!
Korax's eyes moved to a small screen with a flickering message on the display. Reactor safeguards disabled.
That is your grand plan, said Korax. Self-destruction. You know I will kill you.
He saw that Nathan had a bolt pistol in his hand.
No, no, you will not. That is not going to do me much harm, is it? Said Korax. Oh, this is going to hurt you for a long time to come, Corvus. Maybe the rest of your immortal life.
And with that, Nathan pressed the muzzle of the bolt pistol under his own chin and pulled the trigger. The bolt cut up through his mouth. A millisecond later, the top of Nathan's head disappeared in a fountain of blood, bone, and brains, and he collapsed back onto the console. Korax's face was spattered red. Jaw clenched, he wiped the gore from his features, unable to tear his gaze from the ruin that he had once called comrade, disturbed in a way that he had not been since he had looked into the eyes of the Night Haunter and seen a dark reflection of himself. Were death and despair the only gifts he had to offer? Then his eyes flickered to the reactor display. It was at 80% of critical function and had been building for some time, ever since the new men had been killed, Korax assumed. Nathan's tirade had been nothing but a play for time. The other door hissed open and Arendi dashed in. His puffy eyes searched the room for threat before they settled on Nathan's corpse. They then moved to the countdown display and widened. I heard a shot.
The traitor has set the plasma reactor to overload, Korax confirmed as he crossed the chamber.
I always thought he was a spiteful bastard. There was understandable concern in Arendi's voice. How long do we have? Should we evacuate?
I shouldn't think so, said Korax.
He carefully punched in a command, bringing up a code-protected access display. The Primarch's fingers tapped out numbers on the rune pad, and then the screen went blank. A few seconds later, an acknowledgement scrolled into view. Reactor safeguards enabled. Safe operational mode restored.
You already knew the code?
Arendi stared at Korax with awe, mouth open.
No, replied the Primarch. Nathan was never an original thinker. The passcode was his prisoner number from Lycaeus. Lucky first guess.
Arendi shook his head, confused, and then waved away his concerns.
Well, it is good that we're in no immediate danger. I wouldn't have believed even Nathan could turn on you if I hadn't seen some of the things I've seen these last few years. It looks like he couldn't handle it even then, whatever his justifications were.
He was weak, said Korax. I knew it, and I should never have ignored it.
Seems to me he had a moment of weakness, you're right. But you're an idiot if you think it was easy for him. Anyone that's survived until this point, on either side, has shown a strength of sorts, be it for good or bad.
That's the second time you've called me an idiot, Gareth, Korax said quietly. Nathan made the mistake of underestimating me as well.
You think...
Arendi looked at the headless body.
You think I'm like him?
I'm detecting a fair amount of insubordination in you, the Primarch said.
Arendi looked wounded at his words. I know things have changed a lot, but I never knew you would put yourself above criticism, Corvus. If I speak out of turn, it's because I've learnt that softening words is a waste of time. Mean what you say, as the saying goes. If you want prim and proper ultramarines doing as they're told, or zealous word-bearers hanging off your every word, you shouldn't have tried so bloody hard to make us rely on ourselves. If you want Ravenguard, you have to take the rough with the smooth. I remember when you weren't so keen on formality. The former commander seemed to be testing Korax. He had called him Corvus, just like Nathian, harking back to those older times. Why was he goading his Primarch? Maybe there was something else happening here.
It was you that told me about this place, said Korax.
It was. Arendi looked around at the screens and nodded. Good thing I did. These new men freaks could have been a big problem if the traitors had perfected the gene techniques.
And so it was coincidence that Nathian was here, waiting to trap me?
I wouldn't call it coincidence, but I don't know what you're implying. The Primarch gestured to the walls around them.
A facility dedicated to manipulating and mutating the Legionis Astartes gene seed? And of all those that might discover it, it falls to me, the one Primarch that has learnt more about the origins of our kind than anyone else. That stretches credulity. I think that whoever created this place knew I had access to secret knowledge. How else would they get me here except through one of my own?
Why are you looking at me like that, Corvus? I brought you here to end this.
End what? My fight? The resistance to Horus? It's too neat. Victories do not come this easily anymore.
I should warn you, I'm about to use that word a third time, Corvus, Arendi muttered, backing away. And some others you might not like. Korax stepped closer, looming over the space marine, his voice dropping to a whisper.
How did you get off Istvan, Gareth? What happened to the others? Where are they now?
I don't understand you, Lord. Arendi took another step back, retreating into a console.
This place was not the secret you were keeping from me. The librarian saw it in your head. Something you were not telling me. Nathian has made me think about it again. We were lucky to get away from Istvan with our lives. Nathian did a deal with Lorgar in return for his. How did you get away, Arendi, when so many didn't?
I can't believe... Arendi slumped, jaw trembling, eyes downcast.
How?
Korax was implacable, barely keeping his anger in check. We... used them, Arendi blurted. We, myself and the other Raven Guard, were meant to take the lighter and wait for the others. They were attacking the main facility, a feint, while we slipped unseen into position. We used the Salamanders and Iron Hands as a distraction, and made our escape. He stepped back from Korax, his shoulders hunched, his head bowed.
You sacrificed them?
Korax said, shocked. It was not the answer he had been expecting, but it was small comfort. The truth was almost as harsh as the Primarch's fear had been. Yet for all that, Korax could hear the hurt, the honest guilt in Arendi's words. There were more traitors at the landing field station than we had thought. Arendi turned haunted, imploring eyes to the Primarch. We had to leave, had to! If we had waited, nobody would have escaped. The Primarch looked at the headless corpse and considered two different fates. Arendi, who had continued to hope, and Nathian, who had given in to despair.
I understand, he said. It was a difficult choice for you.
Arendi took a breath and straightened, still not meeting the Primarch's eye. It was a worry Perhaps Arendi had not betrayed his Primarch or the Raven Guard, but there were oaths of brotherhood that he had broken, the trust of comrades that he had betrayed. If Lorgar had spun his golden words to Arendi, would he have fared any better than Nathian? Could any of them ever truly be trusted? So said the cautious part of him, at least, but Korax knew that in treacherous times it was easy to see traitors everywhere. Could he trust Arendi? No, but then he no longer truly trusted himself. Risks had been taken, and confidences had to be earned. If Arendi had wanted Korax dead or in Nathian's clutches, then he could have simply left him to be bested by the new men. The only reason to let Korax survive, as it had transpired, would be to get another traitor close to the Primarch. Could such a convoluted suspicion be true? Caution and paranoia, a grey area easily crossed. No, Korax had no reason not to trust Arendi, and the damage done by the knowledge of Nathian's treachery becoming known could be offset by the example set by Arendi and his companions. Hope was too valuable an asset to sacrifice it to paranoia.
One other thing, Gareth.
Lord Korax?
The Primarch did not have to trust Arendi, but he could choose to. For the moment, at least.
Thank you for keeping faith with me.